Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording of the reading and sermon from our November 29th service. Joseph Ben-Narek's topic is Faithfully Creedless. Thanks for listening.
The poem this morning is by one of my favorite poets, a man named Jim Harrison. The important thing to know in this poem is that Jim Harrison is blind in one eye. And it's entitled, I Believe. I believe in steep drop-offs, the thunderstorm across the lake in 1949, cold winds, empty swimming pools, the overgrown path to the creek, raw garlic, used tires, taverns, saloons, bars, gallons of red wine, abandoned farmhouses, stunted lilac groves, gravel roads that end, brush piles, thickets, girls who haven't gone totally wild, riverless eddies, leaky wooden boats, the smell of used engine oil, turbulent rivers, lakes without cottages, lost in the woods, the primrose growing out of a cow skull, the thousands of birds I've talked to all my life, the dogs that talked back, the ravens that follow me on long walks, the rattler escaping the cold hose, the fluttering unknown gods that I nearly see from the left corner of my blind eye, struggling to stay alive in a world that grinds them underfoot. One of the things that I believe is that great love can come from beautiful art, and this congregation is about to feel that from our guest vocalist, Samantha Hyatt, and our beloved pianist, Evan Millman. So there are two pieces of folk wisdom about your brain, and thus your mind, that I wish to call to your attention. Both are distilled on pithy bumper stickers that I've read with interest in traffic jams. The first one tells us that a mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's opened. Now, this image is very visceral and direct and pretty much leads to everyone wanting an open mind, especially when performing those so-called leaps of faith from high places. Now, another piece of folk wisdom wonders aloud, if you can't change your mind, are you still sure you have one? Here, the reminder is to not be too certain, to essentially design some escape hatches in your brain so you can get out of there whenever the mental constructs no longer function. Now, I like that idea of mental egress, making certain that both a workable door and a workable window are there upstairs, and best of all, positioned on opposite sides of your head. And if we push the image just a little bit, that door and that window, they wouldn't be used to escape. No, they'd be used to pitch out the bad ideas, because we want those egresses to help us cleanse, right? To pitch out those smelly or silly ideas, and then to allow some cleansing cross breezes to blow through our brains. Now, these two bumper stickers remind me of a third, one of my all-time favorite. I know, my list of what I believe is just totally distilled down to bumper stickers, right? But I did throw out Nixon Now More Than Ever a while ago. Now, these two bumper stickers remind me of a third, one of my all-time favorites. It's actually a UU bumper sticker that could have been co-written by Einstein, Socrates, and a punk rock anarchist. We have questions for all your answers. Again, let's not be too comfortable or too certain where our thinking leads, especially religious thinking. And did you catch that phrase, religious thinking? because I reckon some of the humanists in the room are clucking to themselves right now, smugly thinking that the phrase religious thinking is an oxymoron like jumbo shrimp or random order or terribly good. Now this morning, counter to many millions of people in church today, we will take it as a fact that the brain is a spiritual tool, and that using our brains to their fullest capacity, which means pushing them to the edge of understanding, on the cusp of Kierkegaardian mystery, will help us to live and realize rich and fulfilling religious lives. In short, we need not leave our brain outside the church building to enter into the sanctuary, to this sanctuary. Now that said, thinking can be difficult and uncomfortable, even unsettling. And this is proved on the ground in today's colleges and universities, where there's a peculiar phenomenon within academia right now, weirdly enough called trigger warnings. Now, trigger warnings alert students that they are about to hear or encounter something that might be different in style or substance to what they believed or learned or were spoon-fed during their childhood and adolescence. Now, for all intents and purposes, they may come face to face with thoughts and ideas different than theirs, perhaps radically different. Now, in the olden days, encountering, engaging, and contemplating ideas or concepts different than yours was called learning, in a pursuit of a thing called education. Trigger warning. At some point in the next 17 minutes, you may hear something that will make your skin ripple with prickly heat. Trigger warning. At some point in the next 20 minutes, you may hear something that will make your heart swell with unbounded love and make you want to make the world a better place for the 7 billion people on it. Trigger warning. Unitarian Universalism proclaims itself as a creedless religion, and creedless might be the most spineless, pointless, namby-pamby word in the English language. Now let me repeat. Unitarian Universalism proclaims itself a creedless religion. And creedless might be the most liberating, refreshing, engaging, open-minded word in the English language. And actively practicing creedless may be our world's life-saving parachute. And let's be a little flashy here. And let's spell parachute with two U's. It's a Unitarian Universalist inside joke for those of you who are visiting. Welcome to church. So, this Sunday morning, on the far edge of the northwest continent of North America, what Fox News and those frothing right-wing conservatives call the left coast, we are gathered together in a well-lighted room where we co-create a sanctuary that harbors religious practitioners and thinkers who willfully, actively, proudly, defiantly have no creed. Now, what on earth can this possibly mean? On an earth where religious zealots, where religious extremists will point the business end of an automatic weapon into somebody's wild and precious head and pull the trigger. Je suis Charlie. Je suis Ahmed. Je suis Yu-Yu. Trigger warning. There's the door. There's the door if you do not believe in your heart of hearts that Unitarian Universalism can help save the planet from one, some, or all of these vast, life-threatening, soul-sucking issues by providing an effective, potent, positive, forward-looking counter-narrative to religious extremism, to climate change, to racism, to sexism, to economic inequities, and to injustice. And worst of all, to hopelessness. I'm delighted that you decided to stay. So take a moment and look around, truly. Look around at the people sitting by you. Welcome to your people, who with you are moving ever deeper into creedlessness. Welcome to the wisdom of poet Antonio Machado, who says, when one does not love the impossible, one does not love anything. Now, more than the words from the Bible or the Torah or the Quran or the Tao Te Ching, I have held Antonio Porcia's 12 words close to my heart. When one does not love the impossible, one does not love anything. Now, the deepest taproot of this religion, this creedless religion, is love. Capital L, love. Love that is divine. And I think the greatest restorative power of this religion is that we find courage in our love-filled hearts to stare hard at the impossible and to roll up our sleeves again and again and again. So what are creeds, and why do you have none of them? Now, the most basic definition of a creed is a brief authoritative formula of a religious belief. Now, for example, I had to memorize 2 creeds to pass my 8th grade confirmation class at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Jamestown, New York, the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, which is called the Creed of Creeds, which goes like this. And you can say it along if you have it deep within your bones as well. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the 3rd day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I cannot believe I just won a $100 bet. I bet I can get this whole place to say the Apostles' Creed. Now, you will not find that creed in the Bible. It is the result of humans thinking about organized religion. And by the way, the word Catholic is small c Catholic, which means universal. And every time I visit my parents and happen to be in town on a Sunday, I do the dutiful son duty and I attend their Lutheran church and I stand with a congregation of believers for the recitation, thank you, for the recitation of this creed, wondering to myself where my current beliefs intersect with these words that were composed in the 8th century, 800 years before the invention of the telescope, 800 years before Newton's insight when that apple fell from the tree, and when the Earth was still comfortably nestled at the center of the cosmos. Now, the greatest point of contact between my current beliefs and the Apostles' Creed are a few very powerful words at the beginning, namely, I believe in, and then the word earth, and then 3 at the end, forgiveness, life, amen. And in this radical editing of the Apostles' Creed, we actually may have stumbled upon a creed that we could actually use at a UU worship service, as I truly could envision a group of Unitarian Universalists rising to recite this even from memory. I believe in earth and forgiveness and life. Amen. The humanists might be bummed out about the amen. I don't know. Now, The Nicene Creed got to be called that because it was written in a place called Nicaea, so perhaps we should call this the Olympic Peninsula Creed, or maybe the Left Coast Creed, and you can just hear it at the next GA meeting, wherever that's going to be. Yeah, we used to be called a creedless religion until those guys on the Left Coast in Port Townsend got a hold of the Apostles' Creed. Now, I have to say that those nine words certainly combat, for me, the come on idea behind the Apostles' Creed when I state it. Really? Resurrection of the body? Which body? My 16-year-old body? My 30-year-old body? The one with the broken bone? The one that I got my appendix out? Which one? And why on God's green earth would God want my body anyway? Or any body, for that matter? And don't even get me started about the virgin birth or life everlasting. These physical impossibilities are what you call non-starters for me. They block my flow of thinking, which is core to my believing. And I stand there with all the other believers, or the presumed believers, and I feel like a lying automaton, like a little robot mouthing words that I just can't get a hold of. It is not productive or religiously useful for me to stand in a sacred place and to say aloud, I believe in, and then give voice to words I simply cannot believe. And so my recitation with the congregation sounds something like this. I believe in earth and forgiveness and life. Amen. So this distillation of the Apostles' Creed reminds me of a favorite line of poetry from Jim Harrison. God is terse. Earth's proper scripture could be carried on a 3x5 card. And now you know why those were on your seats. What are these 3x5 cards? Did everyone get one when they came in? Excellent. Yeah, wave them. Hey, got my 3x5 card. All right. So God is terse. Proves to be true for me, because the universalist scripture, love, fits on that card, as does the Dalai Lama's scripture, kindness. Both fit very easily on that 3x5 card. So, after you walk through those doors and begin worshiping within this sanctuary, you will not be forced to stand and recite a creed that distant church fathers composed a dozen centuries ago. In fact, you will not be asked to stand and recite any creed. Now, if our neighboring Christian brothers or sisters witness our worship, they would likely see a creed vacuum. And yes, we have done it again, highlighting a word with two U's right in it. Vacuum. And as we all know from Aristotle, nature abhors a vacuum. And rather than fill this creed vacuum with a creed, fill it with deeds. And thus the little slogan about Unitarian Universalism, deeds before creeds. And while we may be creedless, we certainly have deep beliefs that are richly grounded and principled. Our seven sublime seven principles guide us to lives of great meaning and purpose, encouraging us to grow and to think and to change. Trigger warning. These seven principles, when put into active practice, provide an effective, potent, positive, and forward-looking counter-narrative to many, most, or all of the vast, life-threatening, soul-sucking issues faced by the world today. And to make it simple, we'll present these seven principles as the rainbow, the Roy G. Biv rainbow that our students learn in Sunday school. And that's why your cards are white. You can see the white light and break them out in the spectrum of white light into a Roy G. Biv rainbow. R. Respect the importance and value of all beings. O. Offer fair and kind treatment to all. Y. Yearn to learn and grow throughout life. G. Grow by exploring ideas and values together. Be. Believe in your ideas and act on them. I. Insist on peace, freedom, and justice for all. V. Value our interdependence with nature. So the Unitarian Universalist rainbow of action, Roy G. Biv, just listen to these verbs. Respect, offer, yearn, grow, believe, insist, value. Now, earlier in this sermon, I floated the idea that Einstein, Socrates, and a punk rock anarchist would have co-written the bumper sticker, "We have questions for all your answers." And to close the sermon this morning, and in the name of healthy creedlessness, I'd like to think about this idea, this relationship between questions, answers, and wisdom. "And we have questions for all your answers" is exactly what practitioners of a creedless religion need to practice religiously. Rigorous examination of so-called answers, using the head and the heart and the hands to think deeply, to think religiously, to determine whether these so-called answers actually work in the real world. Now, Socrates, for example, was called by the oracle at Delphi the wisest of all the mortals. Now, this made no sense to Socrates because he believed himself to be the most ignorant, because he knew that he didn't know. And this not knowing kept him questioning because he believed above all else that the unexamined life is not worth living. And there's the rub. He examined life and dialogued with his fellow citizens of Athens, anyone willing to talk to him about those hard-to-define essentials, love and justice, goodness and friendship, all in an attempt to find out what these things actually were. And in lively conversation that required deep, careful, and sustained listening, a huge part of religious thinking is listening, he and his interlocutors would surmise and define, examine and cross-examine, uncover and explore inconsistencies and contradictions to get ever closer to an answer. And thus, more questions, more examination, more dialogue, until, of course, Socrates was arrested for refusing to recognize the gods of the state. He was accused also of corrupting the youth. And perhaps this came because the phrase trigger warning had yet to be invented. Now, for these crimes, he was tried, found guilty, and put to death. And thus, the state executed the wisest man in the world on religious grounds because it grew murderously weary of his questions. Now, this philosophical practice of questioning, this dialogue with fellow citizens, is embedded deep within the principles of Unitarian Universalism, specifically principle number 4, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Now, stated in the Roy G. Biv rainbow of beliefs, it's that bright, fresh, green G. Grow by exploring ideas and values together. Now, perhaps this makes Unitarian Universalism the wisest of all religions because, like Socrates, we know that we don't know, and that search is at the very heart of our religion. The word search certainly fits on a 3x5 card. And what's truly admirable about the search is the quality of the search. It is free, and it is responsible. And what fun it would be to sit down with Socrates to discuss those two words and get at the definitions of free and responsible and what those look like in the real world, the world that Socrates called the realm of becoming. And so here we are, choosing to be inside this sanctuary, worshiping together in the realm of becoming. We're creedless and questioning. We're keeping our minds wide open, like a Roy G. Biv parachute, to think deeply about our religious faith. Trigger warning. Your brain is a spiritual tool. To practice Unitarian Universalism, you have to do your own thinking. And the 3x5 card that you hold right now, white and bright and blank, is ready to contain your own proper scripture. Amen.